Hello, and welcome to the Live Free Podcast. I'm your host, Angie Rodenberg.
Hello, and thank you for joining me today. Today's topic is something that I specifically love. It has to do with unity. And for me, in the last, I would say, decade, the Lord has really been teaching me the importance of how He made us strategically, that we might look all different. We might seem like we have all these different ideas, but the reality is that God has made us different on purpose, and that He loves to show different sides of Himself through different people. Now, that is not to say that every idea out there is a godly idea. It does not mean that we don't have an enemy that tries to control and to manipulate and to do all these things to mess up our reflection of God that He has put in us. But it is saying that we all matter to one another. Lots of times I feel like, especially in our Western culture, we really try to be individualistic and we try to do things on our own. We want to feel like we can get by and we don't necessarily need another person. I can't tell you how many people I've encountered that says, I hate people, you know? And guys, I get it. Sometimes it is difficult to work with other people, but the truth is that we need one another. We need one another because that is literally the way that we are built by God. We are all a piece of this beautiful puzzle that He has made that reflects Himself. And so, of course, it makes sense that we would need one another, that we would need to learn from one another. And I'm here to challenge you today that even the things that the Lord has put on your heart to do with your life is something that is so strategic and purposeful, not just because it's going to be important to you and the people directly around you, but it could very well be something that is a ripple effect throughout generations, throughout the whole earth. It could be something that you do, or somebody that you have influence with, that might change just so many things, all for the glory of the Lord. And so to kind of illustrate this point, I wanted to talk about Hannah in the Bible. Now, lots of times people like to talk about Hannah because Hannah was this woman who she wanted to be able to have a baby with her husband. And unfortunately, she just wasn't able to. It just wasn't happening. And now her husband had another wife too, as was common in biblical times. And the other wife, she had many children and she would actually make fun of. And they actually called her a rival to Hannah because she would torment her about the fact that she couldn't have any children. And see, back in biblical times, it was also a thing of shame and feeling like you were somehow broken if you weren't able to have children during those times, because you had no way to support yourself if you didn't bear sons, if you couldn't have kids, because kids were the value of a woman in those days. And so this was so difficult for Hannah, and she cried out to the Lord. It says so that she would cry out in the tabernacle, but she would cry out in her heart so that only her lips were moving. And she was so feverishly praying that Eli, the priest, the high priest, would come in, and he said, why are you drunk at this time? Like, why are you in here and carrying on like this? And she's like, no, I'm not drunk. I don't know if you guys have ever been praying so hard that people thought you were drunk, but I guess that's never happened to me. But that's what happened to Hannah. And so Eli actually ends up blessing Hannah, saying, whatever it is that you are petitioning the Lord for, let it be unto you. Like, you got it. I bless you. And he didn't even know what he was blessing. He didn't know that she wanted a baby at all. He just knew, wow, this woman is crying out to the Lord, let her be blessed. And she was. She was able to get pregnant after that. It was the fulfillment of her dream to be able to be a mother. And the thing is that she decided that she was going to dedicate her child to the Lord. And so she would wean the child, and then once he was done, she would give him over to live a life with the priest so that he could grow up and be dedicated to the Lord. Now, I just think of this, and honestly, as a mom, I can't imagine how heart-wrenching that would be. Like, you finally have this gift, this fulfillment of a deep desire in you. And it was her idea to say, I'm going to dedicate this child to the Lord and to live without him for so long, because they believe that it was probably, he was probably about 2 or 3 years old when he went to go live with Eli and to be taught. And she would only get to see her son when they would go up to the temple. And I'm not sure if that was once a year or more often, but, you know, she didn't get to really raise her son because he was dedicated to the Lord. And I just think, wow, that would be so incredibly difficult. But it was such a beautiful thing that her heart was just crying out to the Lord for these things. And we can look at that and think, well, that's so great that she got that. That's so great that the Lord did that for her. But the truth is that God actually had a bigger plan behind all of it. And that's what I kind of want to unwrap with you guys today. So Hannah, she didn't get to see her son, but knew that he would be taken care of. And she continued to live her life. And actually after that, she was able to have children. The Lord blessed her. I believe it was with 5 more children. Don't quote me on that. I might be wrong, but I believe it was at least 5 more children. And so she was able to have the fulfillment of her dream. But the story doesn't end there, like so many people tend to end it there, that she was able to have a baby. And a lot of people cling to that if they're having their own fertility issues or contending for something that they just really earnestly desire. And that's admirable. That's great. I love the story of Hannah. But what goes on from there is that we have Eli, this little, or not, Eli's not the little boy. Sorry, Eli is the priest, and he is raising up this little boy named Samuel. Samuel, her son, the fulfillment of this dream of hers, and he is being raised and he's being taught the ways of the Lord. All the while, Eli, he has sons of his own. Hophni and Phinehas are his sons, and these men were wicked men. They really were. Eli did not teach them correctly, I will say. He didn't discipline them enough. And so what happened is that they would actually act corruptly with the people of Israel. When they would come to give their sacrifices and everything, they would demand the sacrifice before they would give it to the Lord. They were very corrupt, and it was a huge, huge no-no to do the things that they did, but they had no regard for the Lord. And so because of that, the Lord told them that they will not live long. The house of Eli will not last because of this evil and because Eli did not put a stop to it. And so what I find interesting is that all the while this is happening, I like to think of it in terms of like a real timeline, like you're watching real people. I mean, these are real people, but I like to picture myself kind of in their timeline of life. And you have these grown men, and then you have this young man, both with the same upbringing, essentially, right? And the two become wicked, the two wicked men. And then you have this young man dedicated to the Lord by her mother, and he is growing up to be amazing. And some scriptures, it says, Samuel's ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. And also it says, meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. It also said he continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. I think that that part is specifically really cool because it sounds like Jesus, because it says that he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So Samuel is almost this picture of what Jesus, the Christ, would be later on. And so we have this amazing story of Samuel, like raising up this young man, raising up. And this is also the story, in case you didn't know, Samuel, as a young man still, the Lord called to him during the night. And this was during a time where God was like not speaking to Israel. They were not, I'll say that they weren't on good terms, but God really wasn't speaking. They hadn't heard the voice of the Lord in a long time. And so one night, Samuel is sleeping and he hears his voice being called, his name being called. And so he assumes that it's Eli. So this is kind of cool to me because it's like he must have felt like he actually heard it, like heard it in the natural, you know? And he goes to Eli and says, "You've called me," you know? And he's like, "No, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And then he goes back and he hears his name again. So he calls and goes back to Eli and he says, "You called me." And he's like, "No, I didn't. Go back to bed." And then it happens again. And so when he goes back, he said, "Oh," Eli finally gets it. He's like, "I think God is trying to talk to you. So next time you hear him say that, say, 'I'm here, your servant is listening.'" And when he did that, the voice of the Lord came to him and he gave him this amazing prophetic word that was actually for the house of Eli. And it was a word of actual destruction of how their end would come. And it was a harsh word. It was a tough word. And I just imagine this young man having to give this tough word to Eli, but Eli told him, "You have to tell me everything. You have to tell me everything, no matter what it is, you need to tell me." And what is amazing to me is that it was Samuel who the Lord chose to be the new line before he was ever even, I think, a dream in Hannah's heart. I believe that God knew what was coming and he knew that he would need a new lineage to take on the role of the priesthood with Israel. And so what that says to me is that God is planning in advance. The things that he puts in our hearts to do are not necessarily just for us. Like, this wasn't just for Hannah, but God had this plan where he would have Samuel grow up and he would be a man of God, that he would be pure. It says that not a word fell to the ground that he spoke. And that is such a huge thing. And I see that there was this problem. See, there was this problem where God wasn't speaking in Israel because of the way that Israel was behaving, right? The way that that they were acting. But God had a solution to reinstitute great leadership that would bring them back to serving the Lord as he wanted them to, and be able to restore that relationship. And how important is it to have godly leadership? And so not only was he the solution for Hannah and Eli, but it was for the entire nation of Israel. And Samuel was a great man. Samuel was amazing. But the most important thing is that it was Samuel's pure heart and the dedication to the Lord that he spoke again, that they could hear God in Israel once more, that God would speak to them and lead them and guide them again, that it could bring them back into his heart. And so how this relates to you today might be that you might have this desire in your heart. You might have this thing that you're struggling with. And sometimes, say if you're wanting to have a child of your own, but you're struggling, that desire isn't necessarily just for you. It's not some selfish thing. Maybe you have a heart that you're like, "I just really want to be able to speak to people. I really want to be able to encourage people. I want to open a coffee shop so that people can come and talk about the Lord together." Like, we can have these things where there's a spot in our mind that says, "Is it selfish that I'm asking for this? Is it important that I'm asking for this? Does God even want me to have this?" And while it's not bad to test that, to make sure that, like, you're willing to do whatever the Lord wants, but maybe he put that desire, that dream in your heart, because it's not only a solution for you, but also for an entire nation. You don't know the impact that it could have. See, you can think of a pebble thrown into water, how that doesn't just plop right in, right? But it ripples out. And we can think of the butterfly effect, about how just the smallest little changes can actually change entire outcomes, right? But it's true. Like, God is so interested in the details of your life. He is interested in all the parts. And so that's why it's so important that we surrender every part of ourselves to him, that we dedicate everything to him, like Hannah dedicated Samuel. And maybe it's not, I'm going to give up my child and have them, you know, they have to become a pastor or a missionary or a priest or something like that. But if there's a dream in your heart, don't think that it's something that's just selfish. Don't think of it as something that's just for your benefit, but think about the people that you can impact, the way that you can bring glory to the Lord through that thing, because it might not just be your solution. It might be countless other people's solutions as well. So I want you guys to stay encouraged. I want you to feel seen by the Lord, that the Lord is not just looking at the big pictures of everything, but he's also looking at the small picture, that he is involved and cares about every single aspect of your life, whether it's your everyday concerns or whether it's the state of the nation or the state of the world. The Lord cares about every single part of it, and he has a solution for every single part of it. So what I just want you to ask the Lord today is, Lord, what solutions have you put in me for the world? What broken places are there that you have called me to help to be a part of the solution? And so, Lord, I just bless my listeners right now, Lord, that they would be able to hear your voice about this. Lord, that you would give them strategic and heavenly ideas for the things to do, whether it's in how to raise their kids, how to do their job, or new things to invent, whatever it might be, Lord, let them all do it unto you, Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord, that you see from beginning to end, and Lord, for every single problem that there is, Lord, that you already have a solution, and we thank you in advance for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you guys so much for listening today. I hope that you are blessed. Have an amazing day.